from WBUR Boston and NPR. I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Gay men and women on TV are not new. But the way they're on TV, from Will and Grace to Modern Family to Queer as Folk to the L Word, is changing. The latest is HBO's new series, Looking. It's not jokey. They're not camp. It's a version of real life. San Francisco, gay men, everyday struggles, joys, trials. That's new in itself. This hour on Point, we're looking at HBO's Looking and gay life in the popular culture now. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. Have you seen Looking? Is the country ready for a more straightforward look at gay life? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Here's a scene from the new HBO series, Looking. Augustine, played by Frankie Alvarez, and his boyfriend Frank, played by O.T. Fabinel, settled into a new kind of domestic bliss in their shared apartment in Oakland. It's kind of everyday life. You'll hear Augustine first.
Hey, we should go out more now that I live here.
Oh, you want to go out?
No, I'm just saying, I'm excited to be in Oakland. No,
hey, we can go out. We can go to a club. Taurus Band's playing tonight. You want to do that? I mean, we can't just stay in sometimes, you know.
I know.
Or if you want, we could just check in someplace cool on Facebook so your city friends know that you're not dead.
Let's stay in.
Go out, stay in. What should we do? It's everyday life. Joining us now from Los Angeles is Michael Lannan, creator and co-executive producer of HBO's Looking, longtime TV writer and producer, former assistant to Sex and the City and Sopranos director Alan Coulter. Lannan's 2011 short film, Lorimore, was inspiration for his new series, Looking. Michael Lannan, welcome to On Point. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me, Tom.
And with us from New York is Jonathan Groff, actor, musician, young star on the rise, won a Tony in 07 for his role in the Broadway musical Spring Awakening, known for his roles on Fox's Glee, Disney's smash hit animated comedy Frozen, and the recent film COG, Children of God. He plays the lead character, Patrick, in Looking. Jonathan Groff, welcome to On Point.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
It's great to have you both. It really is. Michael Lannan, what are you up to here? What are you shooting for? What are you doing?
What are we doing? I think, Tom, the idea started quite simply many years ago as I was working for Alan Coulter. I just started writing down some stories and some thoughts I had about people I'd known, my own experiences, stories I'd heard, and they were mostly about gay men in their 20s and 30s. I just started putting them in this document, and over time this kind of triangle of friendship, these three characters kind of crystallized. And I wrote a feature script about these three guys, Patrick, Dom, and Augustine. And I wanted to take an approach that was very everyday, that had kind of a kitchen sink quality to it, that reflected some of the style of some of my favorite filmmakers from the 70s and the 90s. And just kind of I ended up with this feature script. I pitched it around and eventually got in the hands of HBO, and they brought me in for a meeting. We had a great chat about this opportunity before us to tell a story of three very contemporary gay characters, and that was the start of the development process.
Jonathan Groff, you've played all kinds of characters over the years. What's it like for you to play in a show that is explicitly about gay culture, gay guys in San Francisco? This is an innuendo. This is just right there in the middle of gay life, and you're right in the middle of that show. As an actor, an openly gay actor, what's it like for you to play that role now?
Well, I think, as being an out actor, if there's like an added bonus with being a part of this, because obviously I have a personal investment in telling stories like this. But outside of that, the actual work on the show, we never really talked about our gayness or lack thereof. We talked mostly about the characters and the story. And so my experience of working on the show was incredible, because we got to live and work in San Francisco. The actors on the show are amazing. Michael created this amazing world of people. And then Andrew Haig, who is our sort of director and one of the executive producers of the show, has a very unique and specific way of working that's very naturalistic and very real. And I'd never worked ever in any way like that before in anything I've done. So that was really kind of a masterclass in the style of acting.
Here's a little scene where Jonathan Groff is playing Patrick, the lead character. He's awkwardly coming on here in looking to his new boss, Kevin, played by Russell Tovey. This is at a company party. You'll hear Kevin first.
You're asking if I'm gay, aren't you?
Yes.
Uh-huh. I am gay.
Okay. That's cool.
Cool. Okay. Is that what it is?
Yeah. You know, we never have any gay guys around here. Not that I'm suggesting that, you know, we're gonna hook up, of course.
Of course.
Unless, you know, I let you win a couple more games.
Well, I have feeling overconfident. A boyfriend.
Right.
And we're in the middle of Looking, there with Jonathan Groff playing lead character Patrick, Russell Tovey, Kevin. Michael Landon, for people who haven't seen it yet, you worked around Sex and the City years ago. You could hear the structural setup, and it might sound like Sex and the City, but guys set in San Francisco. How's it like and unlike?
Well, just to be clear, I never worked on Sex and the City. I worked for a director who did that.
Yes,
but I'm
sorry.
A great admirer of the show. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, there have been a lot of comparisons before the show came out about, oh, it's the gay Sex and the City, or it's girls with gay men, or, you know, there were a lot of ideas about where it is. But I think it does share some things with those shows in that it's a half hour on HBO that involves relationships and, you know, love and sex. I think tonally the show is quite different. It has this naturalistic quality that Jonathan was referring to. Mm-hmm. I think it has a tempo and a rhythm kind of all of its own. The goal was always to do a show about people sort of rambling through the streets of the city and us just kind of riding with them as they go through their days. So I think it has a kind of gentler, more subtle emotional quality, I think, than some other shows that it's compared to. So I think that's one difference. And I think that it's also about this particular time that we're in. The world has changed so much for gay people in the last 10 years, say. And so I think we just wanted to kind of drop in on these three guys and tell stories that felt very connected to this time for these guys in this place and just be very specific about that, about San Francisco to 2014.
Can we talk about sex for a minute? I mean, I had to, you know, watching this, I had to sort of check myself because there's more explicit sex or getting close to it here, gay sex, than I'm accustomed to in my regular media diet. So I'm like, oh, wow, whoa, here we go. And then I have to think about, well, but what about all the other shows I watch that have heterosexual sex and I've become accustomed to and it just there it is and it may be too racy for kids, but I don't think twice about it. When you're putting that on screen, Michael, who's your audience? Maybe who's your audience for the whole show, but specifically when you're getting a little more explicit, do you still feel like you're testing boundaries of mainstream American acceptance, or is that where we are now?
It's a good question. I think in regards to who the show is for, I think we're not really sure. We just focused on doing the best characters being as specific as possible about these guys and telling great stories and hoping that people connected to it. And obviously, you know, I think we thought that a lot of gay men would tune in, but we didn't know who else. We just wanted to tell some stories that would resonate. And in terms of the sex, I think it's interesting you say that. I think there is a double standard in the world of, you know, straight sex on TV versus gay sex.
Well, I saw there was one in myself immediately. I mean, you know, why am I catching up here? I watch Californication and, you know, woohoo, off it goes. Body as can be. But then, I mean, this is different for, you know, regular Joe me.
Yeah. I think it's funny. It's not, I think we've heard from other people that it's quite tame. So I think everyone has a different relationship to gay sex just based on their own experience and what they've seen of it and what they know of it. I think that we always wanted the sex to be a storytelling element. I think that was a decision that Andrew and I made early on, was to have it always be about something, relate to the characters, relate to where they are in their lives, relate to their stories. We didn't feel like we had to throw in gay sex just for the sake of it. So I think you'll find that it's always linked to what's happening in the show. And I think we wanted to be frank about it, too, because it hasn't been done, very frankly, a ton on television. So I think those were two of our goals, yeah.
Tom Ashbrook, this is On Point. We're talking this hour about the new HBO series Looking, Gay Life in America Now, and how we depict it in popular culture. Michael Lannon is with us, creator, co-executive producer of the new series Looking on HBO. It's loosely based on his 2011 short film Lorimar. Jonathan Groff is also with us, from New York, actor, singer, big in Spring Awakening and much more Frozen. You know him from Fox's Glee. He plays the lead character Patrick in Looking. Here's a scene from Looking. Patrick, played by Jonathan Groff, meets up with Benjamin Matthew Wilkes. Awkward first date here at a trendy San Francisco bar. They don't hit it off.
I was so desperate yesterday that I went cruising in the park.
Cruising?
Yeah. Well, it was kind of a joke. I was with my friends and we were in the park and we were like, do people still really do this? And it turns out they do.
So you're looking just to hook up?
Well, no, 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 I'm not really. No, I didn't mean to put, no, I'm more of a, like a relationship person, always, usually, but that was just a joke in the park.
Jonathan Groff, that was a great depiction of the range of attitudes on the way to do things right there within the gay community. Here, the guy he meets up with is, you know, his eyebrow is way up at cruising. That's not his thing. There's such a range, of course, within any community, certainly a big gay community in this country. How are people responding to the depiction of gay life in this series to you, Jonathan? Are they saying spot on, or that's fine for one way of doing it, or you're missing me? That's not my gay life.
First of all, I have like sweaty palms right now just from hearing that scene. I like already have anxiety.
Because you're playing the guy who's on the hot seat and it's not going well there, yeah.
I know. But yeah, that's a great question. I've had a lot, me personally, you know, I can only judge from people that have reached out to me. There are some people that have texted me or emailed me and said this, you know, how is it possible that you guys are putting my life on screen without ever having interviewed me. Some people feel really like it's their life on screen.
Yeah.
Others say, this is not me at all, but I'm fascinated by it. Others say, this isn't me at all, and I wish it was something else. I think that there's a variety of opinions. It's interesting, when we were working on it and developing it from the pilot on, we were just trying to tell these stories about these characters, and everybody that worked on the show really fell in love with these people and the storylines. And now that the show is being seen by the world, it's been really fascinating to sort of digest everybody's reaction to it and to see how everybody sort of holds it up to the cultural conversation.
Yeah, Jonathan Groff, stand by. Michael Lannon. Richard Lawson joins us right now from New York. He's Hollywood columnist for Vanity Fair. Has written about Looking, saying that it's as gay as it needs to be. Richard Lawson in New York with Vanity Fair. Thank you very much for joining us. What do you mean by that, sir?
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me, and yeah. Jonathan and Michael.
Yeah.
I was kind of responding to some think pieces that had come out following the premiere of the show a couple weeks ago, or mm-hmm. you know, just leading up to it, that were sort of criticizing it for, I guess, not showing queer life as queer as people sort of – some people wanted it to be. And I think my point in saying that it was as gay as it needs to be is that, like Michael and Jonathan have said, that this is about a specific group of people and, you know, and their lives. And what some of us recognize in it and what some of us don't is kind of the point in that – in that, you know, we see same in all kinds of people or not. And just because these people are gay doesn't make them any different in that regard.
Is this looking to depict gay life, or is there a political agenda as you watch the show, conscious or not, I guess, Richard, to normalize gay life, to, you know, show it as regular?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the tone of the show, and you know, that I'd been interested in for a while because I'd seen Weekend, which Andrew made a couple years ago. And I think that, yeah, there is a certain political weight in showing that gay men live a sort of prosaic life just as anybody else does. But I don't see political intent necessarily in the show. It's more sort of the kind of swirl and reaction around it. And I think that some of the pieces I was reacting to when I wrote about the show, I think were sort of inferring maybe too much politics into the equation. Which is understandable, but I think that if we can accept this piece of fiction as its own entity rather than sort of representative of a bigger whole, I think that's probably the best way to look at it.
Michael Lannon, what about that line of interesting criticism of the show that, you know, maybe this is trying to put something out there that mainstream audiences can handle, but it's tamer than gay life as some of your viewers know it?
Yeah. I'm sure that it is tamer than some folks' lives. I think that Andrew and I always subscribe to the idea that just getting as specific about these characters as possible was what we wanted to do. And I think we both believe that our favorite stories are kind of get to the transcendent by really molding characters and stories that feel like incredibly specific, I guess, is the only word I can think of. So I don't think we ever intended to represent all gay people. I just think that's impossible and silly and not even worth trying to do. You know, some people may not see themselves in the show. Some people may feel that it's too tame for their taste. And I think that's totally fine. I think it's great to have this kind of dialogue about what these gay images are and these gay stories. I think we're just focused on the storytelling of it all. And it's exciting to us that it's stirring up so many strong feelings. And I think one of the goals in the show was to kind of have some of those viewpoints in them. So, for example, like Augustine, I think, is someone who laments gay culture becoming so boring and laments the things that mainstreaming of gay culture has caused, and he struggles with it in his own life by this kind of domestic opportunity that he takes, and how does he maintain his queerness and his kind of radical gay agenda, what have you. So I think I hope that that's part of the DNA of the show too, is this kind of debate about what it is to be gay.
Richard Lawson, is it a censored view of gay life? You know, the character Augustine wants more, wants something a little wilder. I mean, there's a three-way that goes on in the show, and yet at the same time he's got that domestic scene going on. But I wonder if some are going to watch this and say, well, you know, where's Grindr? Where's the quick hookup? I mean, looking itself is a sort of status, open to sex online, right, if you're out in that world. Is this pretty, tidied up for even HBO, Richard?
It doesn't feel tidied up to me. I mean, I think if you compared it to something, which in it has been, oddly, in at least one thing I've read, to Game of Thrones, yeah, sure. It's not, you know, we're not seeing this kind of barbaric sex all the time. But, you know, we don't see barbaric sex all the time in most modern Americans' lives, I don't think, you know. To me, it doesn't seem tamed. It seems, you know, as it reflects my own life, certainly the guys on the show are sort of maybe living a little bit more even gregariously than I am. So, I understand why, you know, when you think about things like in one episode they go to the Folsom Street Fair in San Francisco, or when you think about sort of Grindr and kind of other hookup apps, if you want to call them that it could seem a bit maybe muted. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, people are alive 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and that stuff is a part of their lives, but by no means is it, you know, constant. And I think that the show does a good job of kind of showing us the quieter sort of moments in between and the sort of, you know, the heightened sex and relationship stuff.
And we can say muted, but I think for a lot of viewers, they will see things they have not seen before in Looking. It was my case. But you mentioned Weekend, which director Andrew Haig made earlier, 2011. There's a moment in that film following two British gay men. This is from a Friday night hookup to a weekend of conversation, kind of a after midnight thing. And they're talking about what it's like to be gay in a culture that's always focused on the straight life without apology. Here's Glenn in Weekend, this Chris New telling Russell, Tom Cullen, that straight culture has no use for gay men.
Look, straight people like us, as long as we conform, we behave by their little rules. Imagine your friends if you suddenly started getting all really political about being a fag, or you got suddenly, like, camp and swishy.
Oh, that's not what I'm like, is it? That's not who I am.
Well, look, trust me, they like it as long as we don't shove it down their throats.
Okay, well, why should I just shove it down their throats?
Because they shove it down our throats all the time. Being straight, straight storylines on television, everywhere, in books, on billboards, magazines, everywhere. But, oh, the gays, the gays. We mustn't upset the straights. Shh, watch out, straights are coming. Let's not upset them. Let's hide in our little ghettos. Let's not hold hands. Let's not kiss in the street, no.
The straights are coming. We must not upset them. Jonathan Groff, take us to the other side. I mean, I ask this as a, you know, heterosexual guy. As an openly gay actor, when you look at popular culture, do you share the feeling we just heard there in Weekend that, oh my gosh, the straight life is pushed at me all the time enough already?
That's interesting. I mean, in listening to that clip, I related to Tom's sort of response, which is that I'm not like that. So I've related to his sort of argument in that. I mean, as a gay man, I mean, growing up when I was a kid, seeing like Will and Grace on the billboard for Will and Grace when I was in the eighth grade, I remember feeling like I wasn't alone. I didn't feel like I am a Will or I am a Jack. I felt like, oh wow, there's a show with gay people on it. And even though I didn't see myself in those characters, it felt nice to know that was out there. I related more to, I mean, the Mary Tyler Moore show. Like, I think about watching that when I was a kid and I was like, oh, I'm like Mary Tyler Moore. So I think that as a gay man, there are growing up for me personally, at least, there were straight people that I felt connected to. If there was gay shows on, I was thrilled that they were on, even if I didn't personally connect to them. But I've never personally felt like, you know, I was getting straight lifestyle thrusted down my throat.
It's interesting, though, to be in this time
when
there's so much, gay marriage in so many states now and so much more open conversation about it. And yet, it seems, even with Modern Family and all the rest, kind of tidied up, I guess we've been saying, in so much of mainstream culture. And here, in Looking, breaking out a little bit, I want to go to our listeners, if I may. Jonathan Groff, please stand by. It's so great to have you. And Michael Lannan, Richard Lawson with Vanity Fair. Let me go to Laura, calling from Waltham, Massachusetts. Laura, you're on the air. Thanks for calling. What do you think?
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
When I first phoned in, the comment I wanted to make was about your question on what, you know, what was the purpose of showing homosexual sex.
Life,
in,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
In the program. And as the mother of a gay teenage daughter, I feel that any sort of normalization, and this is something you touched upon later, of homosexual behavior, it makes me happy that, it's a way of protecting her heart to know that she can look to mainstream media and feel, you know, I'm not so different. She's the only openly gay kid in her high school of 400 kids, and she feels very alone in that situation. And so anything that we can expose her to that, you know, these are your people, you know, this is there, you know, you are part of a culture and you're part of the mainstream culture, I think that's healthy for her.
Does it still not feel that way to you and your teenage daughter at this point, Laura, given everything that's happened and the evolution of how we think and talk about gay life?
I feel very fortunate that she's being raised in this decade. I think even a decade ago, things may have been much more difficult for her. There are lots of, the internet is a wonderful tool for us to find groups that she can join where she can meet up with other kids of different gender identities and so forth. But there is still that element where, you know, she's the only kid in town. And, you know, there are whispers and there is a difference that we feel. And so...
Yeah, no, I hear it. And your comfort at seeing representation here that makes her feel more at home in the world. I mean, check out San Francisco and she'll have a different scene quickly. Or check out Looking and you'll have a different scene. I appreciate your call, Laura. Joey in Indianapolis, Indiana. Joey, thanks for calling. You're on. What do you think?
Oh, hey, Tom. Hi. Just wanted to say that I think the show is very refreshing. It's interesting, again, how things have evolved from, say, Queer as Folk 13 years ago, a show that was very issue-driven episode by episode, whether we were focused on sex or sexual harassment in the office or, you know, learning that you could possibly be HIV positive. You know, it was like each episode, you know, very
had a big issue behind it. And here it's more just living along, Joey.
Yes, yes, which again I think is very reminiscent of the movie Weekend, which has been brought up by, you know, from director Andrew Haig. So here's my question. Michael on Twitter had mentioned that Jonathan, for one of the episodes, because of all the different takes, had to eat something like 10 veggie hot dogs to get through it all. So my question is, how is that possible? Like, where do they go? How do you do that?
You really have to eat every take. Jonathan Groff, do you remember that incident, that scene?
Vividly. I'm on the verge of nausea just thinking about it. I have a personal thing where I get frustrated when I see some actors on TV and film pushing their food around on their plate and not really eating it.
Yes.
And so I really, and you'll see throughout the course of the first season, Patrick eats a lot. and I just sort of went for it. You know, technically I just wouldn't eat breakfast or lunch and I would just throw back those dogs.
Tom Ashbrook, this is On Point. We're talking this hour about the new HBO series Looking, talking about gay life in America now and how we depict it in popular culture. Jonathan Groff is with us, lead actor in the new HBO series Looking, third, fourth episode now out there. Michael Lannon is with us, creator, writer, co-executive producer of the series. Richard Lawson is with us from New York, Hollywood columnist for Vanity Fair. Here's the way it was, a clip from Will and Grace, NBC sitcom ran from 1998 to 2006, portrayed gay principal characters. Here's a scene of flashback, Will's time in college. Eric McCormick meets Jack, played by Sean Hayes, who's openly gay. You'll hear Will first.
What are you even doing here? Aren't you in high school?
Well, I prefer the college parties because the fellas tend to be less uptight about their homosexuality.
Oh, yeah, now I remember you. You're the one going around telling everybody you were in Duran Duran.
Oh, that's right, that's right.
Oh, and you think everybody's gay?
No, not everybody. Just me. And you. And a dog named Boo.
Hey. I'm not gay.
Well, this well-worn copy of the Dreamgirls soundtrack begs to differ.
Will and Grace, campy, big laugh track, over the top. Michael Lennon, when you listen back to that, how do you hear it now? Do you cringe, or was that a way station? How do you look at it?
No, I think that... there have been lots of great gay shows in the past, and I think they're all kind of linked to their time, and they're all, very much relating to the culture then. I think there are some great gay characters and stories and worlds that maybe are a little bit lesser known, like Tales of the City and Russell Davis's British queer as folk that were big inspirations for me and Andrew. And so there certainly is like a great, you know, there have been really wonderful great gay characters on TV through over time. You know, Six Feet Under had some great complex gay characters too. So I think there are all kinds of great representations, some that are more comedic, some that are more serious. I don't think we can really put one above the other, and we have to look at them in the context of their own time.
Jonathan Gruff, here's a listener on Twitter. Cord writes to us, says, enjoying all this, but does this conversation alienate queer men for whom flamboyant or camp is natural? Does that show up in the show, Jonathan?
That's a good question. I hope that they don't feel alienated watching the show if you relate more to that sensibility. I think, you know, we had 8 episodes, half hour long. We really wanted to explore the characters that were given. Hopefully, as the show progresses, you'll be able to see more and more types of gay people and the gay experience. But certainly in making the show, we did not mean to alienate anyone at all.
Richard Lawson, I wonder, thinking about this show and the normalization in many parts of the country or corners of the country of gay life, sort of more mainstreaming, and yet there's this old debate within the gay community about how mainstream do you want to become? What's special about the queer life, and how much do you sand the edges off that people are attached to and find very valuable? Where do you see this going, Richard? Does gay life and love move more and more into mainstream pop culture? And if it does, what happens to it?
Well, I think that the important thing to kind of think about is that shows like Will and Grace or characters like Jack or you know, and characters like Jonathan's character in Looking are not mutually exclusive. It's not that, you know, that now that Looking exists, something flamboyant or campy or whatever can't. I think that Looking is one show and there hopefully will be others. So I think that what some people see as a kind of you know, a move towards a kind of more acceptable, you know, center or whatever, I think that what that really is the sort of further pulling back of the curtain that shows that there is, as there are within any group, a sort of spectrum of people. There are gay men and women who, you know, act as, you know, heteronormatively as anyone else, and there are people who go to sex clubs and who do all kinds of things. I think that the more representation we see, it makes sense that, you know, the sort of broader our picture and becomes of this community.
It's really interesting. Listeners responding on Facebook here, Rob writes to us, says, as a 31-year-old gay male San Franciscan myself, I think the show's pretty spot on. He writes, I'm not really sorry that many of our actual lives aren't spent making straight people fabulous, throwing extravagant brunches, or being constantly sex-crazed in a nightclub. We have circles of friends and do pretty normal things in our natural habitat. The show speaks to my life. Rob writes to us on Facebook, I like it. But then Jeff says, I don't know, I think I find my group of friends a bit more entertaining. There's less of, how do gays work, sad face, and more, lordy, aren't I a handsome mess? Randy in Madison, Wisconsin. Randy, thank you for calling. Thank you, Jeff, there. Randy, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Okay. What do you think, Randy?
I think it's about time. It's excellent. That's what this country needs and should have. We began our big, in this country, we began in 1969 with Stonewall in the Village. It's taken years and years and years. Well, we're finally here. We're not going away. More people have come out of the closet. And it's time that we belong to the mainstream, including our sex. For the people that do not like it and continue to not like it, the far right and the Bible thumpers, they're going to have to turn their heads because we're not going away.
Randy, what do you think about your just ordinary neighbors, let's say straight neighbors in Madison? I don't know if you've seen Looking, but are your neighbors going to sit and around and watch and accept as just human drama to be entertained by a show that's about gay life in San Francisco?
They may not. Madison, Wisconsin, by the way, is one of the closest cities to San Francisco, being very, very progressive.
Yeah.
And there are more people in this city that, like San Francisco and New York and others, that would be willing to watch it, yes.
So maybe it's clicked on in your neighborhood with your neighbors. Randy, thanks for your call. One more right here. Jessica. Thank you, Randy. Jessica in Providence, Rhode Island. You're on, Jessica.
Hi, Tom. Longtime lesbian activist in the queer community. I love the show. Love it.
love the portrayal of sex. I really relate to these gay men. I see them in my life. I couldn't help but think about the juxtaposition of this show and Girls on HBO. When I first watched Girls as a feminist, I was horrified, and I thought they must be making this up. And then I went to work, and I talked to the 24-year-old girls, and they all said it was true. So I just couldn't help but think about how fun this juxtaposition is, and I wondered if how the guys thought about that.
Jessica, elaborate on it a little bit. So they're probably way ahead of me, but help me follow here. You were horrified by Girls. Why? And how do you see it playing up against Looking?
Well, you know, I have to say, you know, as a lesbian, it's so hard. It's, you know, where am I more aligned with? And I am definitely more aligned with the LGBT community and with gay men than I am with straight women.
Okay.
And Girls has such a very complicated way that these young women are doing their sex life. I wish they were doing it better. But it turns out, I was living in Brooklyn at the time, and there are 24-year-old girls, it's really resonating for them, the show Girls. So I'm trying to have more of an open mind about the show. I couldn't help but think, oh my God, I really feel like Looking is very real. Does that mean that Girls is very real? And I guess it's more of a comment than a question.
Michael Lannon, how about it? Girls and Looking, what's in common? What's not?
Besides Sunday night, I think... you know, it's really interesting what Jessica's saying. I think Girls is a show that had a lot of expectations on it, too, for representation, just like our show had a lot of expectations about representing the gay community. I think that show is, you know, really bold and amazing and has stirred up conversation with people who, you know, just love it and it feels so real to them, and then other people who just feel like it's upsetting and not a good representation. So I think those shows definitely have our show has that in common with it, that it's like it's really resonating with a lot of people, and some people don't see themselves in it. So I think that's one thing, and then also just but I think tonally and like story wise they feel somewhat different. I think our show is definitely like a later period in life, about people who have come out long ago and who have had adult lives as gay men. And we're picking up with them sort of at a very different period in their lives, in their 30s. So I do think there's some differences there as well.
Definitely a different phase of life. Jonathan Groff, what about viewership here, and who's going to dial in, who won't, what they'll think? I mean, you're a Pennsylvania kid, Lancaster. I mean, all the way. What about in your home community or in your family? Are people watching? How are they responding?
I took actually the first four episodes home with me to show my brother and his wife. Obviously, a straight couple living in small town Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, sort of nervous and eager to show them. And when I was showing them the episodes, we got to episode 4, and there was a moment between two of the characters that I won't spoil. Mm-hmm. And both my brother and his wife vocalized. They went, "Oh, come on." And it was a huge moment of revelation for me that I wasn't necessarily expecting, where I thought, wow, my brother and his wife are seeing themselves in their relationship between these two gay men over the age of 40. And I think part of that has to do with...
They were identifying with a moment, or saying, we wouldn't do it that way, or we get that was difficult, or something like that.
There was the reaction they had was very human, and was very like, I see it. I see me in that. I see myself in that. Mm-hmm. And it was a scene with two gay men over the age of 40. And I think part of the reason for that is that Michael set these stories, like he just said, with men who are mostly in their 30s and 40s, where their sexuality is not the main problem in their lives, that their relationships, their friendships, their love relationships, those are what they're sort of working through and trying to understand. And I think that that is universal. And so I think at the end of the day, just in the way that for me at least as a gay man, I've seen myself in so many straight stories, because you're dealing with universal issues of love and stuff like that. I think that straight people will be able to see themselves in these gay stories.
Richard, how far do you think that will go? I mean, gay people watching theater, popular culture forever have been asked to identify, you know, empathize with heterosexual drama. Can you see mainstream America just watching a gay drama and putting the sexuality aside, the gayness aside, and just looking at relationship?
Yeah, I mean, I think we might be a little ways away from that being the norm. But yeah, I think increasingly the more that once kind of marginalized, sidelined gay characters on other shows or in movies have kind of moved a little bit more to the center, and then, you know, with shows like Looking, I think that we will move toward that in the same, you know, like Jonathan said, anyone who is gay or queer in any other way, you know, has grown up finding, you know, liking My Best Friend's Wedding and finding something hopeful or exciting about that, even if it doesn't exactly look like what they want. And I think that, yeah, eventually the more that sort of political gains are made and really just generations grow up, I mean, that caller's daughter, for example, the more it's going to be, I think, you know, if you knew a gay kid or gay kids in high school and sort of rooted for them, you know, to find a prom date or whatever, I think that you'll root for that and see yourself in that for the rest of your life, I would hope.
I wonder. I mean, I wonder how far it really goes. People watched Bill Cosby back in the day and, you know, it was just for entertainment, black or not. I don't know if it works the same way here. Lucius in Franklin, Tennessee. Lucius, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Yes, hi, Tom. How you doing?
I'm okay.
Been a while since I've called in, but when you had Don Lemons on, I respected for what he did, but I still was against his behavior, as well as these guys on Now. While I respect,
this is the gay CNN anchor, Don Lemon. Yeah. What about this, Lucius?
Well, while I respect what these guys do as far as directing and acting, I'm still totally against it. I don't think that homosexuality shows will be accepted totally in the mainstream. You don't have to worry about heterosexuals because it's always been accepted. I don't accept anything homosexually done because I believe that there always will be an agenda. Even with this show, it will be an agenda.
Agenda meaning what, Lucius? An agenda to do what?
An agenda where homosexuality was not accepted because it was looked on as sin as I was growing up. Now we're trying to make it in the mainstream to be accepted because we're just trying to make it, you know, this is what I am, this is who I am, and whether you like it or not, which, you know, I've often said a person can do and say what they want to say, but they cannot make something accepted that is totally, totally sin.
Lucius, we've got it. I want to get one more call. I understand that perspective. There's plenty of it out there, and this won't be for everybody. Let me tell you, that's for sure. But I appreciate your call, Lucius. Mark in New Orleans. You're on, Mark. What do you think?
Hi, Tom. Thank you very much for your very in-depth programming on a variety of issues. I want to ask your guests if they would talk to the issue that gay people really are special, and I'll briefly explain. We are unique in our ability to relate to women, to blacks and colored people in the civil rights movement, Jews in the sense that we can walk into a room and nobody knows whether we're gay or straight, Jewish or Christian. I wonder if they could talk to the fact that society has moved away from the stereotype, but maybe there's some concern that we're just going to whitewash or kind of beige what it means to be gay.
Mark, I appreciate your call. Michael Lennon, how about it? There you got a caller, New Orleans, who says, don't normalize us too much. You got a caller, Lucius out of Tennessee, saying, I don't want to see this. Put that away.
Yeah. No, I think that really speaks to what a big country we live in. And there are so many viewpoints about sexuality and gay people and gay culture. And we don't live in a post-gay world. there are so many different feelings about it still. And a lot of people still have a lot of trouble with their own sexuality and the sex, excuse me, the sexuality of others. So I think that really all we can do is sort of like capture that in the show perhaps a little bit, that there are different ideas about what gay people are and gay life and what's real and what's normal and what's fulfilling and what's exciting. And maybe just get a little taste of that in our own show.
Well, we're in a new day, and how far and deeply and widely we end up sharing will be absolutely culturally fascinating to see. Looking, the new HBO series, is pushing that line. Michael Lennon is creator, writer, co-executive producer. Michael Lennon, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Tom.
Jonathan Groff plays Patrick in the series, star of the show. Jonathan Groff, you're great. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Tom. Really appreciate it.
And Richard Lawson with Vanity Fair in New York. Richard, thanks.
Thanks.
Listeners, thank you very much for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point with Chuck Prophet's White Knight, Big City.